Please turn in your Bibles again to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. And we just want to read two verses again. Well, three really. The end half of verse number 10. And then down to verse 12. Just to refresh our memory as to what the Bible is telling us this evening. Romans chapter 14. And to verse 10. We'll break in there at the middle of that verse. It says there, Romans 14, verse 10, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Amen. Let's pray. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing as we meditate upon his word for a while this evening. Almighty God and Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for these words that we read in Romans. Thank you, Lord, for the inspiration of Scripture. Thank you that we can trust that it is completely true, that every word that is written within these pages is the truth of God. Lord, as we know, all truth is your truth. Lord, we pray that tonight the truth of the gospel would shine forth in the hearts of men and women. Lord, as we make this challenge tonight to everyone that is gathered, to everyone that is listening, about where they stand before Christ, we pray that everyone will be attentive to thy word. And Lord, that they will answer the question within their hearts, how do I stand before Christ? Lord, we pray that tonight you would speak through your word. Fill me with thy Holy Ghost, I pray. In Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. Over the course of this year, our thoughts have been directed toward the royal family. We know that King Charles III was coronated this year, and throughout the service of his coronation, there were many different people who took part. We see that the task of reading the scriptures, it fell to the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. He read from Colossians 1, which is a truly remarkable passage. It has some wonderful statements within it. Colossians chapter 1, it tells us that we have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. It says that by him all things consist, and that in all things Christ is to have the preeminence. Now this, of course, is rather ironic when we think about it, because we know that the Prime Minister, he is a professing Hindu, which does not ascribe any deity, which does not ascribe any significance to Jesus Christ, other than the fact that he was a good man and a good teacher. And so we say that it is rather ironic seeing that he read from Colossians chapter 1. But if we think and we cast our minds back to the 9th of September last year, there was a remembrance service for Our Late Majesty, Queen Elizabeth. This service took place in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And again, the newly elected Prime Minister, Liz Truss, had the duty and the solemn responsibility of reading God's Word. And she read from this chapter of God's Word that we have read tonight. She read from Romans 14, verses 7 through to 12. That was her portion that was given to her. And again, this is a very solemn passage. It brings to our attention very solemn realities. And the main one being that we will all one day give an account to Christ. And I wonder if anyone present at that service really realized the magnitude of this passage. That one day we will stand before Christ. I wonder if anyone realized the challenge that that is to be to our hearts. And I wonder tonight, as you're gathered in this service or as you're listening online, do you realize that one day you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Do you realize that one day you will all give an account, every one of us will give an account for everything that we have done here in this world? And therefore, I ask you tonight to consider a very serious question. I ask you to consider one very serious question tonight. Are you ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Are you ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Because if you're in Christ, fully trusting in Him for salvation, then you have a wonderful hope that heaven one day awaits. That joyous prospect is in your life that you will go to be with your Savior. You will go to be with the one who loved you and gave Himself for you. You'll be one day free from all of life's struggles. One day free from all of life's cares and many problems. But before any one of us can get there, before any one of us can reach heaven, we must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And verse 12 tells us there that we will all give an account to our God. And therefore this evening I want us to consider briefly for a time standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Notice first of all, it will be universal. It will be universal. Read with me the end of verse 10. It says there, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not something that any one of us can escape. It is a certainty that every single person who has been born into this world, past, present, and future, we will all one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so I want us to think of some questions about that day. The first question being, when will we stand before the judgment seat of Christ? The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, that it will be when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Now, I'm not going to get into eschatology tonight. I'm not going to get into a heavy doctrine tonight about the hows and the ins and outs of Christ and His return. But when Jesus returns to this world, and that is an absolute fact, that is something that every child of God agrees on. Jesus Christ is one day returning to this world, and it is at that point that we will all stand before Him. And that day is fast approaching. The Bible tells us that there will be numerous things that will precede the second coming of our Savior. It says that there will be things such as a falling away from God and the church. There will be men and women growing cold in heart. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famine. There will be pestilence. There will be earthquake. There will be all of these natural disasters. The Antichrist will come. All of these things must precede the second coming of Christ. And I want you to think for a moment, are these things not happening in our world today? Do we not see that there is such a falling away from God in the church? Many buildings today, many places of worship, they claim the name of God, they claim the name of Christ. There's no gospel. There is no gospel within them. Do we not see that the hearts of men and women are growing cold? How many times have you perhaps tried to strike up a conversation with someone about the things of God? How many times have you perhaps tried to tell others about Jesus Christ and they just shrug it off as if it's nothing, as if it's nothing important? We see apathy in our world today, and so we see a coldness. We see wars, we see rumors of wars, and we see all of these other natural disasters on the horizon. And therefore, I do not think it is unreasonable to say that the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. Yes, while it may not be in our lifetime, it may be in our lifetime, may not be in our lifetime, but I believe that the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. And therefore, every one of us must be ready. Must be ready to stand before Him. And children of God, believers this evening, you must be ready. You must be a careful watchman, a woman of your time. You must be ready to stand before Christ. But why? Why do we all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? We all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ because the Bible tells us that we've all been born in sin. We have all committed sin in this life. We've all fallen short, so far short, of what God demands. What is it that God demands of every one of us? It's perfect obedience to His law. He demands perfect obedience to His law. And so, none of us have rendered perfect obedience. The Bible tells us that if we have even offended the law, or if we have even broke the law of God at one point, we're guilty of breaking it all. And so I ask you tonight, have you ever lied in your life? Have you ever taken something that wasn't yours in your life? Have you ever perhaps cursed God's name in your life? Have you ever broken the Sabbath day in your life? If we have broken any one of God's laws, we are completely guilty. Completely guilty. You and me alike. All born in sin. Not only born in that sinful nature, but we actively sin against God. R.C. Sproul, he termed it as cosmic treason. God has created us to be His creatures, to be His creation. But we have rebelled against Him. We have said, I want nothing to do with you, God. I want nothing to do with what you have for my life. I want to go my own way. That is cosmic treason. And therefore, since we have all broken His holy law, the judge of all the earth, Jesus Christ, is the one that we must one day stand before. And we must hear His sentence on our lives. And it is Jesus Christ that we will stand before. John 5 verse 22 says that the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. It is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that we will each be judged by. And therefore, when we consider the judgment seat of Christ, we must first of all say it's universal. None of us can escape it. We will all one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so, again, I ask you the question tonight, are you ready? Are you ready to stand before Christ and hear His verdict on your life? Secondly, I would like you to see this evening, not only is it universal, but it is also reverential. Verse 11 there in Romans chapter 14, it says there, every knee shall bow to me. Every knee shall bow to me. Sadly, today we live in a world where we hear so many people talk about God. And perhaps you're one of them. I trust that you're not, but perhaps as you're listening tonight, you're one of these kinds of people. And you think that when you meet God, you're going to tell Him how wrong He has worked in this world. All of the wrong things that He has done. You're going to ask God and say to God, how dare you make a world that is full of sorrow, pain, and misery? If you are truly a God of love, then why would you allow so much trouble, so much pain, so much affliction to come into this world? Perhaps you believe that you will stand in judgment of God for His works, what He has done. But the reality is that you will stand before God and He will judge your works. It will not be the case when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ that we will be hurling accusations against God for all the many things that we believe perhaps He has done wrong. The truth is that when we stand before Christ, we will be accused by our sin. We will not be accusing God for what He has done. Our sin will accuse us. And the verdict will be rendered over our life if we are not trusting in Christ, that we are guilty. Guilty for all eternity. John MacArthur, he said that sinners still live with the illusion that they can make a judgment on Jesus Christ and avoid Him making a judgment on them. You judge Jesus wrongly, and He will judge you rightly. The question is not, what will you do with Jesus? The question is, when you see Him face to face, what will He do with you? We live in a day and age that is marked out by irreverence, especially against the God that we serve. You see it in the world today. God is no longer respected. God is no longer revered. His day is no longer sacred. David said in Psalm 36, verse 1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And tell me tonight, do you fear God? Do you fear one day standing before Him? Do you have a reverence and respect for God? Or perhaps could it be said of you that there is no fear of God in your eyes? Please turn back a couple of pages to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In this earlier passage, we see that Paul, he is describing those who are without Christ. He is describing those who are strangers to the grace that Christ has to offer. And that is you tonight if you have not trusted in Him. If you have never turned from your sin, if you have never trusted in Jesus Christ to save you, then Paul here is speaking about you. He's speaking about you. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul here says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh, that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all, together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. And then in verse 18, he quotes from that Psalm 36, that Psalm of David, there is no fear of God before their eyes. This is strong imagery here that the Apostle Paul uses. Let me make it a little bit more personal to you tonight. You are not righteous if you're outside of Christ. If you've never trusted in Him, then the Bible here describes you as one who does not seek after God, one who has no understanding, one who is swift to shed blood, one who is found in destruction and misery in all of your ways, one who does not know peace, one who does not fear God. That is how the Bible describes those who are outside of Christ. And therefore, what else could we do when we come before the Lord on that final day of judgment, seeing what we are before God? And what else could we do but bow our head in shame, seeing the multitude of sins, the multitude of transgressions that we have committed against a holy God? When we stand before Christ in that judgment day, the Bible is very clear that we will bow ourselves before Him. Isaiah 45, verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Listen, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. It doesn't say that on that day we'll perhaps be able to choose whether or not we submit to Jesus Christ and His judgment. It says that it is an absolute certainty, you and I, everyone in this world, we will all bow the knee to King Jesus. Philippians 2 verse 10, perhaps the most well-known verse that speaks of us bowing before Christ, says there that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow of things in heaven and of things in earth and of things under the earth. This act of bowing before Jesus Christ, it's an act of reverence. If you saw the coronation of King Charles III, you would have saw how as the new king passed by, those who were in the audience, in the congregation that day, they bowed their head as the new king passed. It's a sign of reverence, sign of respect, a sign that you're submitting to their office. And if an earthly king deserves so much respect and reverence, then how much more is the divine King of Kings due reverence and respect? And therefore, when we stand before Christ, we will all be reverent before His presence. As He passes down judgment on us, on our lives. But we move on to see that standing before the judgment seat of Christ, not only will it be universal, not only will it be reverential, but thirdly, it will be confessional. It will be confessional. There, in Romans chapter 14 and the verse 11, at the end of that verse, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Every tongue shall confess to God. The word that is used here for confess, it's a very interesting one because it literally means to fully agree, to fully agree. And so how are we to understand that in light of this passage? If we were to translate this as every tongue shall fully agree to God. Well, it means that on that day that we stand before Christ, stand in judgment before Him, We will express complete and utter agreement on the verdict that He places on our life. We won't be able to argue with the verdict that Christ gives us on that day, because we will either be accepted by God because of what Christ has done for us. We will either have those words written over our life, as we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, no condemnation, because they trusted in Christ. Or we will be judged forever by our sin, and the words guilty as charged will be written over our lives. And we forever will pay for our sin in that awful place called hell. There are many false views of the judgment today that one day will come. For the Muslim is taught that when the day of judgment comes, they will confess their sin before Allah. And He will then weigh up all the good that they have done in their life, all the bad that they have done in their life, and He will decide whether to forgive them or not. Let me ask you, where is the hope in such a belief? Because we could strive forever to work our way into paradise, but it would never be enough. For the Roman Catholic, they are taught that they will be judged on their works. They will be judged on their giving to the church. They will be judged on what they have done in this world, on how many prayers they prayed. Again, let me ask you, where is the hope in such a belief? The humanist and atheist, they do not want to believe that a judgment day will one day come. I believe that there are atheists out there who are not actually opposed to God as their creator, because for them it would answer many of their unanswered scientific questions. But I believe that they're opposed to God as creator because if they can reject God as creator, they can reject Him as judge. The Bible is clear. God not only created this world, but Christ one day will come to judge this world, you and I. And so in their minds they believe, if I can reject Him as my creator, I can reject Him one day as my judge. But the Bible is clear. The Bible is very, very clear. We will all one day confess to Christ, the judge of the earth. There are a number of things that will be confessed on that day. Believer, let me address you specifically. What will you confess on that day? The Bible says that you will confess your works to your Savior. You will tell Him all that you have done for Him, how you have served Him here in this world, how you have lived for Him here in this life. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 8 tells us that fact, that every man shall receive his reward according to his own labor. We will confess our works before our God. Child of God, are you ready to confess what you have done for God in this world? Are you ready to tell Him all that you have done for Him? Because the Bible says that on that day we will present before Him our precious stones, our gold and our silver, and He will use the refiner's fire. He will use that fire to burn up our wood, hay, and our stubble, all of those things that did not have any eternal significance. Believer, will you not this evening redouble your efforts? Inviting children out to the Holiday Bible Club this week. Telling your friends and family about Jesus Christ. Warning them that there is a judgment one day coming. And working for Christ so that you may one day hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Remember, we cannot hear those words, "Well done," if we have not done well. That we have done so little for Him, not that we have done too much. Our only regret will be in that day that we will have done so little for Him, not that we will have done too much. Child of God, are you living for Christ today? Are you working for Him? Are you seeking for that well done from the Lord? Are you living your life so that on that day when you come before the judgment seat of Christ, you will be able to tell Him that you have worked for Him? That you have lived for Him. Yes, none of us will live perfectly for Christ. We're still just sinners saved by grace. But we can actively live for Christ and for His glory. Will you not start now? C.S. Lewis, while I don't agree with everything that he says, he had a very good quote on living for Christ, and especially dying for Christ. We want to have the same mind that he had when he said, "My hope is that when I die, all hell rejoices that I am out of the fight." That you're no longer putting up that fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil, that you have gone home to your heavenly abode. Child of God, you will confess your works before your Savior. And so I wonder, are you ready to confess that to Him? But if you've never trusted in Christ to be your Savior, then what will you confess? Well, you will confess your sin before Christ, the Judge of the earth. Perhaps you think that you're not a big sinner. Perhaps you think that you haven't really done that much wrong in this life. But the Bible is very clear. You think you may have never committed any serious sin against God, but to hear the gospel and to reject Jesus Christ will lead to you confessing the greatest sin that you could be guilty of. The greatest sin that you could be guilty of in this life is rejection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it will lead to a lost eternity. If you reject Christ, you're lost forever. To reject Him as your Savior is the greatest sin you could be guilty of, because without Him, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Hebrews 2 verse 3 tells us that fact. How shall we escape if we neglect, or let me use another word, how shall we escape if we reject so great a salvation? Therefore, I wonder this evening, will you continue to reject Jesus Christ? Perhaps you've sat under the gospel year after year. You know what Jesus Christ has done for you. You know that He went to the cross to take away your sin. But you've continually rejected Him. Will you not finally come this evening and accept Him as your Savior and ask Him to forgive you of your sin? Finally, I want you to see that it will be personal when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Every one of us. There will be no one else to turn to on that day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You won't be able to look to your parents on that day when you stand before Christ, because you will have to give an account to Him. You won't be able to ask your elders to give an answer for you, because you will have to give an answer to Christ on that day. You won't be able to ask your minister to speak on your behalf, to argue your case, because it is you personally who will one day have to give an account to Christ. If you're still outside of Christ, then please answer within your heart right now. If you've switched off for the past 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it may be, if you've switched off for the rest of this service up until this point, please give me your attention for 5 minutes. 5 short minutes. And let me ask you this very serious question. When you stand before the Lord and the question is asked, "Why did you not repent? Why did you not flee to me to be your Savior, to Christ?" How will you respond to that question? What will you say to the Lord on that day? When you stand before Him face to face, what will you say to Him when He asks, "Why did you continue to reject me?" Matthew 22, verse 12 tells us what your response will be. Silence. You'll be speechless. You won't have any argument to present before Christ, the Judge of the earth. In my place of employment, I've been talking to a co-worker, and he's asked some questions about Christianity, about religion. I've really enjoyed talking to him, because you know yourselves, it can be difficult to strike up a conversation with anyone about the things of God or about Christianity. But we talked about sin. We talked about many different things, but especially sin, that seemed to keep coming up. And its effect on our lives, what things were sin, what things weren't sin. We had a really good conversation. I left really encouraged, because it was an opportunity to share the gospel with him. But as we were finishing our discussion, I asked him a question. I said to him, You're one day going to stand before Christ when he comes again. The Bible's clear. He's coming again. And you will one day stand before him. What will your answer be as to why you rejected his salvation? He replied back to me, he said, I don't really think about it too much, but I'll take what's coming to me. I'll take what's coming to me. My friend, people today have a very light view of hell, have a very light view of the suffering that there is for those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. The pain and misery that there is. The bitterness, wailing, and gnashing of teeth that the Bible describes. There will be no hiding our sin in that day. Romans 2 verse 16 says, in that day God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Nothing will be hid before him. And so when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you will either stand redeemed, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, or condemned and cast into outer darkness forever. The second does not have to be your end. You do not just have to take what's coming to you. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to make a way of escape possible for you. He took your punishment so that you could go free and enjoy a full life with him, a complete life. But to experience that full and free life, you have to run to Jesus Christ. You have to turn from your sin, repent of it, say you're sorry for what you've done, and trust in Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. As we close, there was a young fella and he was coming home from university. He failed his final exams and therefore he was worried about what he would find when he got home and told his parents. So he was a bit of a mummy's boy. He messaged his mum, first of all, and he said, Mum, I failed everything. Can you prepare Dad for the news? His mum messaged back. She said, I've prepared your dad, but you better prepare yourself. He knew that there was something coming, disappointment, perhaps. But my friend, it's a simple illustration to relay this fact to you. God is prepared for the day of judgment. He is ready for you to stand before him. And my question to you this night as we close, are you ready to stand before him? Are you ready to stand before Jesus Christ? Are you prepared to give an account to God? We're going to turn to our closing hymn. We just want to sing one verse of it. That first verse, it asks that question, where will you spend eternity? You answer that question within your own heart tonight. Where will you be in eternity? 256. We'll stand while we sing just the first verse and the chorus. Please come speak to us after. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the solemnity that there's been in this meeting. And we ask that this evening, tonight, Lord, every one of us will know where we stand before Christ. We will know that we are prepared for that day that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, I pray that every one of us will be ready to give an account to God. We will be able to say, Jesus Christ has saved my soul. Lord, I pray Draw men and women to thyself tonight. Take us to our homes now in safety. And bless in the open air, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.